Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this month's Career Conversation, Writing for Television. Just a quick housekeeping rules. One, please turn off your cell phones, myself included. Yes. Two, restrooms are actually just right outside that exit side underneath. We're kind of right above the restrooms. So if you need. And again, thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Saturday. And excuse my voice, I'm getting over a cold. And please help me to welcome our speakers. We have Robin Henry, we have Samir Gardezi, and we have Sasha Stroman. And we're very excited to hear about their work adventures. All right, so we'll just get this started. Easy way. Describe what you do, and in terms of schooling, what do you recommend for your careers? Whoever wants to start.
Describe what I do. Right now, I'm the EP on a show on Netflix called The Toys That Made Us, but I came up through writing sitcoms, and then I did a few dramas. I've done a few talk shows and things like that where I write like the monologues for the comedians and that sort of thing. I came up as a journalist. I was a journalist for a long, 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 long time with newspapers, and so I have a journalism degree, and so I have been a writer long before I got into television. So that's how I ended up here. So I would say it's always good to get something in the writing arena. I wasn't a creative writer, but it still helped me to learn to write and to write on deadline and in, you know, with a certain pace and things like that. So
hi, I'm Samir Gardezi. I am a writer, producer, currently working on a couple of things, a lot of half-hour formats in the digital space. I came through a much boring way than yourself. I just went to school at SC for film, thought I would get a job immediately after, was unemployed. Then luckily enough, I had applied to this writing fellowship program at Nickelodeon. So once unemployment was about to run out, thankfully I was able to get, you know, part of the Nickelodeon family.
Yeah. My name is Sasha. I went to undergrad not knowing what I wanted to do. And when I was done, I actually worked as a journalist for a few years. And I realized, oh, I can write and I can write on deadline. I've always loved movies and television. Maybe that's something that I can do, like a way to enter that world is through writing, which I hadn't considered before. And so I applied to USC for grad school in screenwriting, which you absolutely do not have to do, because I think you can learn how to become a screenwriter through workshops and through books and through other mediums. But I had that. And for me, I'm the kind of person who like likes a traditional learning experience. So schooling for me was actually helpful, but I don't think it's necessary for everyone. And then after that, I also did the Nickelodeon writing program for a year, which was great because they basically pay you to become a better writer for a year. So I encourage everybody who's interested in writing half-hour animation to seek that out. And then through that, it was just basically from one job to another. Yeah, hustling.
Yep. So I forgot to mention that the format will be, I'll ask some questions, but then we'll take audience questions, so it's more of a relaxed conversation. So, but my follow-up question to that is, you mentioned the fellowship. Are there, where you currently work, any internships for people that are in high school or college or not in school?
Internships. I mean, I feel like if you want to write for a TV show, there's usually not interns, there's PAs, which is like a good way to get into the door on a TV show if you're either a writer's PA or just a production PA. But there are a lot of different writing programs for people who don't have like professional credits yet in the industry. Like Disney ABC has one, CBS has one, Nickelodeon has one. And they're a lot, they're very diversity friendly, female writer friendly. So if you're any of those things, definitely pursue that. Do you have any internships?
Yeah, there's actually a couple of high school resources, not specifically for screenwriting or telepay writing, but of that same world, if you were interested in creative writing just in general, one organization is A26. They're based out of Echo Park on Sunset Boulevard. I know Manly Arts has a program, but I mean, of course, you have to go there. But I would say that definitely it's something to advocate for. So if you are a part of a high school, especially a public high school, it's worth mentioning it to people that, you know, control the extracurricular programs, because a lot of discussions are happening on the more grander level of how to create creative workforces that can easily integrate more into Hollywood. Because, you know, if you think about it, right, like Hollywood, you can't avoid it. It's a huge economic system that happens within LA County, yet you see very few people that come from the LA school system or just LA area in general that get access to it. So I would say if your school doesn't have a program, this is the right time to start talking about it and building around it. Yeah, Nickelodeon has initiative called NICE, college and high school students. Yeah, and you can just go on their website, type in Nickelodeon, then NICE, NICE, and that's their community outreach organization.
You said
Manual Arts.
Manual.
Yeah, it's just the high school, and 826, 8 as in the number, 26 is the other organization.
The only thing I'd add is that, you know, writers write. I mean, that's what we do. And so, like, for me, I just remember I wrote for anybody who would let me write for them. And I was further away from Hollywood than you could ever imagine. I was living in Atlanta. I was working at a newspaper. I was a managing editor of the newspaper in Atlanta. I wasn't anywhere near Hollywood. Never thought I'd even be near Hollywood. But there was a sketch comedy troupe there. And I just said, can I come write for you? And I just started writing for them. And I didn't, you know, I just wrote. And I just wrote. And actually, I got seen by some of Tyler Perry's people. But, you know, I just wrote. I wrote for anybody for free. I mean, nobody was paying me to write. I was just writing. What do you need me to write? I'll write it for you, you know. Like, you know, we need a little program, a church wants to do a play, I'll write it. I'll do it. Because that's what it is. Writers write. A lot of people say, I don't know how to write, or I want to be a writer. All that takes is for you to sit down at that computer right now and start writing. You're a writer. That's what you are. Writers write. That's what we do. So I don't always think about, like, waiting for someone else to pick you to write. Just write. That's what I would say. That's my 2 cents. But.
Any audience questions so far? Yes, ma'am.
Is there a producer's training program that you know
of? So producing.
And I would join.
Yeah. So producing means a couple of different things. So in television, producing can also mean writing. So for instance, you know, being an executive producer means pretty much you're the showrunner, you're the head writer. So by producing, do you mean kind of creative executive that's bringing people together and packaging material to, like, take to a studio? Or do you mean producing services in the sense that you're a writer, but you want to be intimately involved in the production of the piece?
I would imagine bringing the crew together.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, I know that USC has it's a very well-known program called the Peter Stark Program. But short of that, I don't know. Does anyone else know?
Maybe, like, you could look into, like, a Producers Guild website.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also you can always look at the UTA job list. I mean, they always have internships at various different production houses. That might be a good starting place.
Usually assisting a producer. I feel a lot of people come through that way, where you assist a producer, you know, become an assistant. You sort of trail that person around until, you know, you sort of see what they do. And then you sort of, I've known a lot of people have done it that way, you know, been like a showrunner's assistant or something like that.
Excellent. Yes.
What specifically would be the process to become a writer's assistant for TV for you guys?
Ooh, that's a good question. The Guild has a program.
So the guild has a program
for writers.
They have to have a list.
Use the microphone. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
I know the Guild has the Writers Guild, WGA, has a program that, you know, that brings through writers' assistants. I don't know if there's other formal ways. I mean, usually it's a word of mouth type. Yeah, networking sort of word of mouth thing. But there is, I know there are programs from the Writers Guild that do write.
I write for American Dad right now, which has a big writer staff. There's like 20 of us. But they do a lot of promoting from within. So there's writers there that are co-executive producers that start out as PAs. Also, it helps that the show has been on for 13 seasons or whatever, which isn't easy. But if you start as a PA and you do your job well and people like you, and then once you've done that job really well, and people might say, so, hey, what do you really want to do other than going to the grocery store and getting coffee? And you're like, oh, well, you know, I want to write. And if you've been cool and they like you, they'll start reading your stuff and they see that you want to be a writer and that you have any interest, then maybe one of the writers might mentor you, and then you'll get hired up once the writer's assistant becomes a writer or quits or God knows what. So a lot of the times the writer's assistants will start as PAs. And so if you know anybody who has any connections on a TV show, getting that first job as a PA is a great foot into the door, unless you have a close connection with the showrunner or something like that, or one of your friends is on staff somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me ask one quick question here, since you've already covered a little bit of it. How do your day-to-day look like? And because you've all worked on different formats, from the talk shows and the half-hour animation and drama, and do you go to an office or are you sitting at home doing it? Thanks. And then I'll take more questions.
A mixture of both. So I'm in development, so I'm not currently working on a show. So a lot of the work that I do is outside of my home or at my office. But yeah, it's very much by myself though. So it's very lonely. So know that when you're in development, very lonely. But if you're on staff on a show, that's the whole, like, you walk in, big writer's room, production staff, etc.
Hers is more exciting. All
right.
Yeah. Yeah, we go to work every day. There's two writers' rooms, sometimes three, depending on what we're working on that day. There's a what we call the big room, is where we all 20 of us gather after we've had a table read or maybe a script has come in, and then once we identify what we should do with a given script, then they'll usually break us off into either the rewrite room, which stays in the big room, or the joke room, which you just go into a separate room, and then they just send you jokes to come up with, like joke areas to pitch on, so that the rewriting of the script happens a little bit quicker. And then if there's enough people in that day, they might do a third room for story, just breaking means like thinking of ideas for new episodes. So sometimes we'll have three different rooms going, but that's not always the case. It's just that there's a lot of people on the show particularly. So every show is different. I mean, I've been on TV shows where you always go into the room to work every day. But if it's a live action show, for example, you might be called to go on set, and maybe if there's a taping, you'll be there pitching jokes if it's a sitcom, or you're all stay in the room the whole time and only like the boss will go on stage. Every show is different, but if you're on a show, you usually go in every day unless you're on script. And some shows, when you're on script, if you get like 2 weeks to write the script or a week, they let you go home and write it. So, but mostly it's a job, you know, with, you know, you know, it's like getting there at 10. I mean, depends on the room. Our hours are good, but you know, some shows that's very late hours, you know, you're there till the wee hours of the morning. But yeah, it just depends on your show, but it's definitely, you're in a place.
You make some really good friends because you're in a room with like 10 other people for 10 hours every day. Sasha and I met on a show. We were writing for East Los High on Hulu, and we became friends because you're there together 10 hours a day. You eat lunch together. Yeah, you know. No, you don't see anybody else but your friends that are in the room. But it's a lot of fun because you can imagine you're with the same people and you guys are all have the same goal. You're trying to make a good TV show. So you're trying to go home. It's really a lot of fun. You know, you meet new people every room you're in. You know, every show you're on, I'm with a different set of people. You know, the dramas I've been on have been totally different than the talk shows I've been on, you know, different than the sitcoms. So you meet a whole new set of people, and you only work, well, in Sasha's case, she's been on a show for, how long have you been on American Dad?
This is the second.
Second season. I mean, I've been on various shows and different seasons. So sometimes I only work like 4 months at a time on a show, and then I move on to the next show, and then I move on to the next show. So it's exciting in that way. You're always starting over. You know, you get to do something new. It's not like going to the same job for 30 years, although that would be great. That would be the best.
All right, sir.
What about the entry possibility of being a writer's assistant in a writer's room? Is that possible?
Entry?
How do you become a writer's assistant? Yeah.
As an assistant in a room? is that an entryway?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, what Sasha mentioned this a little bit before, but if you're on a show that's been on for a very long time, they hire within their own, then it's more likely to be a writer's assistant and then transition into becoming a writer. But if you're, yeah, but if a show just lasts for a season, then I've known many writer's assistants that just get stuck in that cycle and they're jumping from script coordinator to writer's assistant back and forth. So it can be really frustrating. But I think the key to all of it is to continue writing, because you don't, unless you want to be a writer's assistant, to write so people know that you're a writer, right? This is just a holding pattern until you get your actual writing gig.
Cool. What's the difference between a production assistant or a TA and a writer's assistant? As you're saying, there are many ways to become a writer.
Excellent question.
A good question.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah. So a production assistant usually is on set. Sometimes there's an office PA, so they're the office version of the production assistant, and they do all the heavy lifting. So they're making sure that not only actors and actresses get their scripts on time, if they had rewrites in the middle of the night, believe it or not, that's still a thing. I don't know why. Some people really want their scripts in a hard copy. So email doesn't work. They're the people that are restocking the fridges, making sure that they're making coffee, any errand that needs to be done. Now, a writer's assistant is in the room. Will assist with the office PA if needed, but he or she, their role is to make sure that they are catching everything that's said in the room, collating it, and basically organizing it in a way that if someone, a writer in the room, said, hey, didn't we say something about this like 2 days ago? And in a moment, they can bring it up and the room can refer to it. So one is entirely just an assistant in the room, cataloging everything. The other one is kind of a floater going everywhere and anywhere.
It's hugely important.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That writer's assistant job is, it's so important.
And you have to be a really good type.
Yeah. It's so important. We depend on that person like crazy. Like, it's really important.
Miss?
I wanted to ask you, what was your first job, for Kate Gold, and how did you get that job?
The question was, what was your first job and how did you get it?
Yeah, my first job and how did I get it? Like I said, I was a managing editor in a newspaper and I was just writing for fun, like on the side and like for these sketch comedy groups and just sort of, you know, just doing it for nothing. And then I was writing, it's called Sketchworks in Atlanta. I was writing for them and there was a show they had and one of the head writer for Tyler Perry Studios came and saw the show and he pulled me aside and he said, have you ever thought about writing for television? And I said, no, because I work at the newspaper. And I just sort of blew it off. And he said, well, if you ever think about it, write me a script and send me a spec. And I was like, I'm not really interested. So because I had a job, I was running the newspaper. So what happened was I got a book by Ellen Sandler, the TV writer's workbook. And I just sat at home and I said, I'm gonna teach myself how to write like a TV script. And so I wrote it, I sent it to him. I didn't hear anything for 8 months. And I thought, oh, it must suck. And he doesn't wanna tell me. And it didn't suck. Apparently Tyler was coming up with a new show. He called me in and said, do you wanna try out for this show? And I ended up trying out for the show and I thought I was just doing it for fun. And I just went in just sort of like, yeah, I'll try out, whatever, you know, whatever, I'm not gonna do it. And what I remember is that they took me into the writer's room. I'd never been to a studio before. I'd never been anywhere before. So we walk us in the studio and they take us to the sound stages and they take us everywhere. And they take us into this little tiny writer's room. And it's just, the writer's room is just a room with a table in it. There's nothing exciting. But they walk us in there. I'm with all these LA writers, like the creator of Boondocks and all these other shows. And, you know, and they take us in the room and I just burst into tears. And I'm not a crier, but I burst into tears because I realized even stepping in that room was more than I ever thought I would ever have in my life. And I was like, oh my God, you really want this. Like, you want to do this for real. And then it became very, very real to me because I was just doing it like, oh, this is no big deal. And it was a big deal. And I ended up I wrote a script, a spec script, and I got picked to be one of the writers. And they said, have you ever been a writer and have you ever done this before? Can you do it? I said, I don't know, because I don't know. I have no idea. They said, well, you can come on a 3-week tryout. I said, well, I can't really do that. I have another job. And they said, well, that's the deal. And I quit my long time job for a 13-week try at something and it worked. So sometimes you just have to, you know, as I say, you just have to do it, you know. And I, believe me, I wasn't you guys' age. It was a hard decision to make. So just do it.
Oh, yes.
I had a question for different roles in Hollywood. You have to join a union. Is there a, do you have to be part of the Writers Guild? Is there such a thing? And that kind of, once you do that, then there are more jobs out there for you. How does that work?
How do you answer that?
I mean, yeah, there's a Writers Guild, and you're able to join once you've fulfilled a certain quota of scripts that they require you to have written. If it's either, yeah, on a guild show, or if you've sold a screenplay for a movie, like there's certain ways in. So it's basically like you can't join unless you've met like certain quota that they require, and then they charge you a good amount of money to join.
And to stay.
Yeah, and to stay. And then after that, it's good because they can advocate for you if you're having trouble in your show in some way, and you know there's good healthcare that comes with it, but pension, which is rare these days in any kind of capacity. They don't find you jobs, and it doesn't make getting jobs easier to be part of the guild necessarily. But you have to join eventually.
Work against you, yes. And you may not get jobs.
Yeah.
Because
some shows aren't guild.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But yeah, there is one.
Question. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I finished reading Jenna's special book about the act, you know, the act surviving the actor's life. So she talks about getting into the guild and everything, but how difficult it is for an actress or an actor to get a job after they were on the show. So as writers, how difficult is it for you to get a job after you're on a show? Do you get scouted?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard for everyone, I think. I don't think any writer would say that it's easy to get jobs. I think the more shows you're on, the more people you've worked with and can vouch for your talent or your work ethic, the easier it is, because if their show is looking for somebody, then they can think of you. So it's basically like you have agents, and people think that, oh, once I get my agent, they're going to get me every job. But it's, in my experience, it's been word of mouth often from friends who've worked with you. And a lot of the times you need like that person who's going to vouch for you to whoever's running the show. Because otherwise they want to hire somebody they can count on or that they know that they've worked with. Writers' rooms become like families in a way. So it's always like, oh, is this person going to work with everybody else's personality? So in my experience, you know, long story short, whatever, it's references, networking, friends, colleagues. That's how you get your jobs. And yeah, and there's definitely months where you don't work and you're looking for a job, and hopefully it's not years. But yeah, it's it happens, and that's what you kind of have to know when you sign up for this job, is that, you know, it won't always be constant work.
Sorry, quick follow-up question to that. Because networking is important and you spend so much time with different sets of people, is this a job good for both introverts and extroverts, because you also spend a lot of time by yourself writing?
If you're a screenwriter, you can get away with, and by that, actually, for features, motion picture, you can get away with being an introvert. But especially if you're not only a television writer, but working in the half-hour comedy space, you don't even have to be a good writer. I'm going to just flat out say, you don't. It's so personality-driven. You just need to be able to play ball, make your boss laugh because he or she's been sitting on an idea for too long. Our space is a little different because they sometimes don't have rooms, and the way that they even break stories is very different, and they don't do traditional punch-ups. By punch-ups meaning, let's make the script funnier, better, etc. They just get notes, and they go back and come back again. So, but you know, I mean, it's a weird thing. I mean, as much as I feel that the natural state of being for a writer is to be an introvert, I don't think that it necessarily works with a sustainable career, you know, one of longevity. People don't understand writing who don't write, if that makes sense. They know the idea of writing, but they simply just can't understand you as a writer. When they give you a note, when they give you a premise, your brain starts working in an entirely different way than theirs does. And so because of that, you need to know how to do the pitch, the dog and pony show, get people excited on the same level as the idea to be able to kind of build on that. Because if you're just going to go like, yeah, you know, the structure's not going to work, I don't see an act two build, I don't know if we're going to get to the second plot point in time, like it's not interesting. So that's what I'd say about that.
Yeah. And it's about pitching. Yeah, so I'm building on your strengths, you know, I think
The
writer's room's made up of people who have all different strengths, and I have been in those sitcom rooms. We do know how to write, but a little bit, and we can write a little, and some of us, I'm just playing, you know, I'm just kidding, but pitching is, some people are really good at the pit, like being in a room and can pitch ideas for an episode, and are really, really good at that, and maybe they're not the best writers, but they're still really good to have in a room, because they can come up with 30 ideas like super fast. And then there's some people who you can send off and they can write a script like in 4 days. That's another skill, and you need them all in a writer's room. Like, we're not all equal in a writer's room. We don't have to be like, I got to be the best writer and the best pitcher and the best, you know, you'd have to be at a certain level, but you know, you build your own strength. And I mean, you know what you're good at, and you play to that, you know, in the writer's room. So
yes, sir.
So let's say each of you has a job, okay? You've come to the room. At what point are you then looking to say, okay, I'm going to work with other people outside that circle to get my own show,
right?
You know, to be that executive producer. And then who do you turn to? Are you always looking for somebody to mentor you, like a Tyler Perry or, you know, whoever else is there? Is that even important? Is that a distraction?
That's a good question.
I'm the EP of a show now on Netflix. That's not my, I did not create that show, but I'm the showrunner of that show. So you don't always have to be the creator of the show to be an EP on a show. There's other ways to be EPs, you know, have your own shows. I probably started pitching my own ideas from the first time I got in the business. So I don't know. I mean, I think you're always, the dream, I think, is to have your own show at some point. I think every writer thinks I've got the best, you know, this idea, and it's going to be great. But there are other ways to learn how to run your own show before you have to run your own show. Because if that's then you're talking about the business, like what I do I have the budgets I have to do, and other, like there's a whole set of things that have nothing to do with writing that I have to do as an EP on this show. I got to hire crews, and I got to figure out schedules and international travel, and how are we going to, you know, do this, and who's going to do the transcription, and did you pick a transcription place? Like, it's a whole nother world of things, and I'm glad I'm learning it not on my own show, so when I get my own show, I'll know it already. That's what I think.
Yeah, it depends on what you want to do. So if you're someone that wants to have their own show, then I would say consider any of the work that you get your day job, and always find time to write on your own and build your ideas, etc. Because you're only going to be as powerful as your own writing. If you're just working on someone else's show and that's not what you want to do, it's not going to be that helpful. I would say, it's interesting. I mean, the way that the industry works right now is that you kind of work up the ladder, and then, you know, agent comes along and says, okay, now it's your time to develop, and then the network has you on a short list, you get an overall deal, whatever it is. But there's like this weird retention rate, and I think it's a huge flaw in the design of the industry, because just because you've been on a show for a long time doesn't necessarily mean you're ripe to create ideas, if that makes sense. And at the same time, it sure as hell doesn't mean that you're ripe to run a room and manage personalities. And so that is a huge problem in the industry, because you see a lot of showrunners that have just, I mean, I don't want to say fail upwards, but kind of fail upwards, in that they were good at something, but not really good at building and mentoring and business management. So there's anything from, you know, spending going over budget, anywhere from just really alienating younger writers, a whole host of that. So those are things that I feel like they don't teach you when you're a writer's room, that you just learn just by, you know, being a part of the process and just getting experience. But I would say, to answer your question directly, is that there's no right time. You do it. If you want to be a creator, you create, you know, and yeah.
And I also feel like not every, like personally, I really enjoy not having to be the person who's running the room. I think it's a lot of fun to be one of the writers. It's nice to get to a good level where you're not like at the bottom of the totem pole, but I don't feel a pressure. I do have ideas like everybody does, but it's like, I really enjoy being part of a team and not necessarily having to deal with a lot of the non-writing and the non-creative process. So personally, I'm not like in any rush to do that. And I also feel like it takes a lot of learning, honestly, if you're honest with yourself, before you can actually probably execute that role in a good way. So, yeah.
So just to follow up on
okay,
that,
sure.
I went to Los Angeles City College, the cinema program, the television program, and all that. What they teach you there is to get to that EP position, to have your own program, you have to build your team as you go up. And for, I think what I'm hearing from you folks is that that's those people don't matter. It's the people that are financing, they choose the team.
Yes and no. I mean, there's going to be people that, for instance, if I got a show tomorrow, I know, you know, a handful of writers that I would bring with me just because I trust them. But then the network's going to say, hey, these are writers that we have overall deals with, or writers that we really like, read their scripts. But by read their scripts, it's like, you're going to hire them, right? So there's a little bit of that. But I mean, unless you're doing things completely independently, like, and I think of like, you know, the Spike Lee way of doing things, you don't really have to look at it as like, oh, this is my crew, this is my team. They're going to bring that. Just know who you're, I call it the number two and the number three. Like, who's, when you leave the room, who can you trust to make sure the room's going to keep on going? You know, the next two or three free people.
There's a team element that you have connection with, but there is also the ability you have to have to adapt to whatever that other outside entity is saying. This is what we're going to do, or you're out.
Yep.
Miss?
Obviously, like, diversity is important topic right now. As writers, how do you value diversity both within media and within the workplace?
Great question, and I'm happy that you asked that. 100%. Like, I couldn't value it anymore, because I think that for far too long, the industry has been run by these certain standards, and not only has it been inequitable, but the product has suffered. So it only makes sense to be as inclusive as possible in every aspect, not only in front of the screen, but behind the screens. And some of the initiatives that we've all been a part of are fantastic and great, but I think that some of the more interesting things that are happening are just young folks of color, women of color, just coming together, creating great content. You look at Issa Rae, right? She had her show on YouTube, and she made a household name for herself just by believing in something and being part of a process that really has galvanized the whole entire industry. So for sure, diversity is so essential, so important, and it's interesting the way that people talk about it, like, oh, like, you know, affirmative action. It's entirely not that. It's just access has not been allowed for so long. So of course you're going to see all this new talent all come at once, because finally there's been some dents where people can come in.
Can you all speak to that?
I mean, you know, you work in more diverse rooms than others, I think. We were in a very diverse room where it was all women, and mostly women, and two gay men, which was amazing, which is like one of the funnest experiences we ever had. I also have worked on some Nickelodeon multi-cam sitcoms where they have been really, really rich and diverse, color, gender, everything. So it just depends. But there are still some shows that are maybe some of the more well-established or network shows where it's mostly, you know, white men who are, you know, running the rooms, and that's the majority of the writers. But all of that is luckily starting to change, and people are realizing the need for it. So if you're just now entering the TV industry, I think it's a perfect time for that, because people are way more aware than they were of it even like 3-5 years ago.
I would also say, you know, you also have to, even when you're just starting out, you have to be of an each one help one sort of mentality. At least that's what I try to think. You know, even when I didn't have anything, I was always thinking, well, how do I help somebody who's coming up behind me? Because I think that's an important part of what we do. We're always thinking about, well, how can I get in? But we also have to be thinking about, once I get in, how am I contributing to this? Because I do think that's hugely important. And I guess a lot of times I don't know exactly how to say this and it's on the podcast, but a lot of times we feel pitted against each other. And that's one way to avoid that, you know, to feel like, well, I got in, they're only going to allow one black person or they're only going to allow one woman, so I better not talk to her, or I got to be sure she doesn't get her resume here because then I lose my spot. Like, we too have to be open to being like, hey, I know a lot of other black women that would love to be on this show, and I have to not be afraid to do that. And when I have the opportunity, I have to be the one to say, have you looked at this person? Have you done that? And I think, so we all have to take responsibility, not just the people at the top, but whatever level you're on, you have to sort of want to be part of that.
Thank you. Sir?
To expand on diversity, how is the industry at large ensuring that inclusion and equity is being met? And inclusion, I mean individuals that are disabled, and equity meaning that just because you have a person of color or a different lifestyle or standard, the paycheck, why is there a disparity there, and who's making sure that that's equitable across the table?
Getting the real questions now.
Talk about the
So one important thing to realize about diversity initiatives and, you know, the intersections of seeing diversity in front and behind, it's all connected to mandates. It's all connected to money. So know that going in, right? It comes from this large understanding that it cannot be ignored anymore because there is a strong demo. There's a strong market to be able to benefit from. So you're only going to get surface level conversations. So some of the things that you're asking about in terms of paycheck equality and things like that, non-existent, right? And you've seen some of that stuff happen with Netflix and Monique and stuff like that. And it's just because if you have a good idea and you are coming from what they would consider a newer place or a diverse place, you're not going to get the offer that, say, you know, someone that, you know, created Modern Family, like, you know, Chris Lloyd and Steve Levitan, because they've just worked in the industry longer. That's always going to be a thing. And the only way to combat that is to basically create a product that makes money so people will see you with your work, you know? So, but in terms of entry level, no, like some of the people that got these deals, like, yeah, you get access to HBO, Showtime, et cetera. They're getting the lowest deals, mind you, compared to some of the other people that got offered, you know, some of these deals earlier on. In terms of inclusion, when you're talking about folks with disability and stuff like that, the Guild does actually have a specific caucus for persons with disabilities. So that's something that is on the radar in terms of things that you see in front of the screens and behind the screens. I'm not necessarily privy to those conversations, but I know that it is part of the larger vertical conversations of diversity. So people are being educated to know that you can't just neglect something just because you don't immediately see it. And then color is one aspect, but of course there's lots of other intersections that we have to be conscious of.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
I shouldn't be saying this on the podcast, but I do think a lot of times women and minorities, we're trained to think that we can't take a job until we are qualified for it. I put that in quote marks. Like, I've got this and I've got this and I've got this. And I think a lot of people in the majority, when they get a job, a lot of time it's like, I'm going to get this job and then I'll figure it out when I get there and I'll do it. And so a lot of times we spend a lot of time figuring, you know, like, I got to get this and I have to have 4 degrees and before I can do this. That's why I say, just do it. Just start doing it. Cause like he said, the Levitans have been doing it longer. They've been doing it longer. Yeah. They've been doing it longer cause they've had more opportunity. We've got to be out to do it. We can't constantly be thinking, I don't have this. I better not do that. I don't have that. We can't have that mentality. And I know, especially with women, we definitely have that sort of, oh, I better not. I just say yes to every opportunity. I've said, yeah, I didn't know I could be a writer. I didn't never been in a writer's room. I just said yes. You just figure it out. You know, when you get there, yeah, there you go. You know, just figure it out. Like we don't have to be less, you know, we don't have to be less. And then once you get in, that's how you get the experience to be able to get the more money. You know, you can do things, you know, like that.
I think to add to something you said earlier about helping each other out, like the Guild sets minimums for like different levels in TV. Like if you're a staff writer or a story editor or whatever, you have a minimum, but that doesn't mean that another story editor on your show isn't getting paid way more above the minimum, and you might just be being paid the minimum. But I know of people, and I belong to certain groups of like female writers or Latina writers, and if you're really honest about helping each other, then you can share these things with each other. And it's like, if somebody is like, hey, how much did CBS pay you when you were on that show? Because they're offering me this, and it seems really low. And if you really want to help each other out, you will share that kind of information. And I think because of the outrage that happens, as you know, recently about people not getting what they should be paid and that kind of stuff, it's making people mobilize and, you know, be honest and have everybody come up together in a way. So that, I think, is a positive result of maybe some more negative things that have been happening for many years. So that kind of openness and dialogue and support really helps make everybody more equal.
Can I add on to that really quick? And also on top of that, so there are guild minimums, but this is something to really think about, because this is, and not that you obviously shouldn't be doing this for the money, but if other people are making money, you know, might as well. Profit participation. These are the conversations that people won't let you in on, because ownership is something that's entirely different than just getting paid a salary, if that makes sense. And, you know, you look at the 80s, right? These were days like Alf, for instance, the creator of Alf owned his show. Wow. That is how you make wealth, right? That's a whole other level. And these are things just to know going in. If you have something that someone else wants, first question should be like, no, not just how much you pay me for the script. What is my back end? What is my profit participation? If this becomes a movie, if this becomes an action figure series, whatever it is, you are entitled to a cut of all of that. But a lot of people, unfortunately, and this is a newer emerging talent, don't even know that, and they're taken advantage of. So just know that as a creator, as a writer, and that's what you are entitled to a lot more than you think you are.
What about representation and the negotiation power of your reps? Doesn't that enter into this a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. But then this is, so your reps should advocate for you, you know, I say that should, capital S, but at the same time, you know, there could be a situation where your agent also reps someone else that's part of the same show, right? So that person may be one level higher than you, or maybe has one show on you. That's where it becomes a conversation where it's a conflict of interest, and they may not be necessarily able to advocate for you in the same way. You have entertainment lawyers, managers that can help out with that. But I think to what Sasha was saying is that, hey, if you make full transparency in the beginning and make it kind of a duty of writers to protect each other, then that's never going to be an issue. It's not going to be these conversations behind these doors about money. It's like, hey, this is how much we got paid. This is how much we should get paid, because that's what that person got paid.
Next question. Go ahead.
I have a question about the approach to using connections. And this is probably the woman or Caribbean culture thing, but I have certain relationships with people. Then you have a situation where a lot of people are always asking for help. And so how do you meet out and decide when to take advantage of that relationship?
Interesting. That's a very good question.
And
I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah,
that's
for sure. I'll take a dive. So you're asking in terms of when you can ask for something, when it's time. So I think that you have to make sure that you feel like you're a master of your craft at that moment. Basically, you have used all the resources possible within your reach. If you're a writer, television writer, I would say you have three specs that are bulletproof, that you know are gold. And I think once you get to the point where you feel like you have basically your portfolio to show, then I think you can ask. I think that part of my frustration with people that are trying to break in is like, you don't even have a script. Do the work, you know, do the work, do the hard work, because once you do the hard work, then I can say, okay, this person wrote a script, because writing a script is not easy. And so I think that's when you can approach people, because you actually have something to say and can back it up.
The other thing I would say is ask sideways. Like, don't be afraid to, we're always thinking, asking up, like, you know, hey, I'm going to call Tyler Perry, I'm going to ask him to do such and such. But asking sideways is almost as valuable, because we're all rising at different times and at different levels. And I've done things for friends for free, like, hey, read my scripts. And then I was on it. One of my friends ended up getting his own show, and he hired me to be on his show. But that was us. It was sideways. You know, it doesn't always have to be, I'm going for that person. Sometimes it's the person right next to you. Like when Sasha gets her own show, I'm on it. I mean, I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. But you know, I mean, there is that sort of, you all came up together and you're helping each other. And you know, if I had something, I would definitely say, you know, do you know Sasha? We're all sort of helping each other. Sometimes you don't have to ask because people know. I think you got me a job before. On Queen Latifah, yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, he got me a meeting, but you know, she just happened to mention memory. So it's not always about looking for the person who already has it. Sometimes it's looking at the people next to you, whom in a year will have it, and being good with them. I mean, that's, writers get writers' jobs, period. The person sitting next to you is just as likely to get you the job as the exec at ABC. Believe me, that's true. Almost every job I've gotten has been from somebody I've sat with in a room who has gone on to something else and said, have you ever met Robin?
Yeah. I think also maybe, I don't know if this was part of your question, but so were you wondering about asking people to read your stuff and how to do that and stuff like that? Or what were you? Yeah. Actual work. Okay. Well, actual work they covered, but I feel like we get asked, or I get asked to read a lot of scripts from people who are, you know, haven't had their first job or just coming up. And it's like, I try to read as much as possible and say yes as often as possible. But I think, like Samir said, your script should be in the best shape possible and maybe have people, like friends from your level, read it and give you notes and make it as good as possible, because you don't want that first impression from somebody, even like me, who doesn't run her own show, but who can maybe refer you to an agent. You want that script to be as tight and as well written as possible, and know that, like, you probably should only ask once. So, like, make sure that it's, like, in the best shape possible. If that's always helpful, because you never know quite how to ask that question. And sometimes you just ask and if they say no, then maybe they really are too busy or whatnot. But maybe you can be like, oh, then can I invite you out for coffee or just something? But sometimes people are legitimately too busy, you know, when they're in production, for example, stuff like that. But yeah.
So we only have about 10 more minutes, and I know you had a question and then you had a question. So go ahead.
I have two questions, actually. How or where do you guys come up with your ideas? Like, where do you get your inspiration from? And then after that, once you have the script written, or when you're writing on a TV show, who gets the final say into what gets left in the script or what gets taken out? Like, what if there's a person that says, oh, I don't think that joke is funny, but you do really think it's funny and you want to leave that part, or you think it's an important part for the script? How do you go about fixing a problem like that?
Great question.
Want to tell you the American Dad process?
Well, inspiration, it depends if you're writing for yourself or you're writing for your show. If you're writing for your show, then you're all thinking of a story together, usually. That's, at least in sitcom rooms, you're coming up with an idea together. Everybody comes in with a nugget of an idea or a slightly fleshed out idea. Then together, that idea can either sail on through or become something completely different, but maybe the initial inspiration of it is still there. If I'm writing for myself, it's I usually keep like a document or a thing on my notes app and my phone for either interesting characters, interesting situations, interesting locations, and then build worlds from that if I'm trying to write an original pilot or whatnot. Sometimes there's like headlines, Twitter, like magazines, just something that stood out to you. You just keep a file, and then when it's time to actually sit down and write something, you're like, oh, I remember this was interesting. Like, it has to be something that interests you, because you're going to be sitting with it for a long time. So just keep a file of things that you find interesting. And at work, if you really like a joke, who decides that if it stays in or not? Usually the showrunner or the person who runs the room, and you can fight for it a little bit, but if you fight for it too much, then people will get really annoyed at you. So you have to pick your battles, and sometimes it's worth it, but usually not, because you know, jokes should, you know, there should be more than one joke that you can, you know, hang everything on, and that usually changes constantly from every table draft and rewrite and run through. So jokes are something that are very disposable, even though you like them, and the more you hear them, the more stale they get, which is a shame, because sometimes they'll be really funny in the draft and they would have been funny when they aired, but if you hear it at the table read, you hear it at the run through, you hear it at the dress rehearsal or whatever it is, then by that time people have heard it three times and it stops being funny, even though it would still be funny for the TV audience. So unfortunately your babies will get killed is what I'm saying, probably.
Was the showrunner there with you in the stage in the writing room?
Yeah, it depends on the show, but usually there's somebody who's running the rewrite or running the room who will decide. Yeah, sometimes you're room writing, sometimes you're rewriting in a group, but the showrunner or whoever's running the room is usually in charge of what stays in and what, you know, gets killed.
Miss?
I'm just curious if in the future you would ever want to write a novel or work in some other writing.
I think so, because I think that, especially for novel writing, I think the beauty of it is that it's done. Like that's what it's meant to be. Whereas we're just kind of glorified blueprint makers, if that makes sense. I think that sometimes as a screenwriter and a teleplay writer, you get so stuck in the writing, but then when you see it on screen, you're like, huh. Like, you know what, and because so much has to happen, right? The right people involved, whether it's the actors, director, editing, it's just, it's a whole entire process, and that's why you have to see writing to the end. So for sure, I would definitely want to dabble with novel writing or book writing later on in life.
We're in a library.
Yeah. Good.
Anyone else want to answer that question?
Maybe.
What served you best? What do you wish you could do?
Oh, we had another question with a hand up, sorry.
So quickly, you said 20 people in a room. So how does the work get divided? Are you working on one character only? Is that the way it works, or how does it work?
It depends on the TV show, but in the show that I'm on right now, usually somebody is a group of people are rewriting a script that maybe was just what is called table read or about to go into production, for example. And another group is writing jokes for that script, because there's a structural rewrite is a one thing, and then a joke pass is another. And then there's often another group of writers who are working on a new episode idea together.
Are you guys on the screen?
Yeah, there's like a big screen, so we're all kind of writing together. But there are some shows where everybody stays together in the room, and they're just working together on the task of the day. It just depends on the show.
So everybody's, if one group is writing on one subject or whatever, so everybody's sample is read, and whoever has the best.
So it's usually everybody's writing on a script that has been written by one writer. Usually, like, let's say I handed in my script for this episode that we're gonna make. But before it goes into production and it's like ready, it gets rewritten several times, and everybody's episode gets rewritten. So in a way, you went home and you wrote your writer's draft, but when you showed up to work, it goes through everyone's hands in a group setting, kind of in a way, to make sure that all the voices of the characters are true, that it speaks to the show. I mean, it depends on how long you've been on the show. Sometimes if you've been there for 10 years and, you know, they don't really rewrite you that much. But if you're like a staff writer, then you will have a bigger rewrite on your script. But it's very collaborative. Like on our show and on most shows, you do get to go home and write a draft. But once it comes back, it usually gets everybody's opinions and, you know, hands-on in a way. It depends on the show, but yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. I wish we could stay all day, but thank you all so much for being here. And definitely look out for the podcast. And we take a break next month, but we're back June, July, and August.
So, thank you.
Thank you.